what it's supposed to look like. This is what it's supposed to feel like. And I know that from being in Baltimore. Like, my relationship with the organization is, like, it's deep. You know, it's not like, hey, I just played there. Like, no, like, it's people in that building that mean a lot to me. There's a bunch of guys on the team who shot me a text. Joe, elite Joe, still elite. I don't care what anyone says.
Tori, do you get where I'm coming from here, you know?
Yeah, you're a hater, bro.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Welcome into the lounge. You know, Garrett, we've been talking about getting a good guest for, I feel like, a couple episodes. It's been a little teaser. Well, we finally delivered.
We delivered. Yeah, absolutely. Today we have a chance to catch up with recent Super Bowl winner, former Ravens wide receiver, current Eagles wide receiver, Torrey Smith.
One of our favorite guys.
One of the best guys you're ever going to meet in the NFL, and somebody who obviously still has a really deep connection with Ravens fans here in Baltimore.
Yeah. Before we get to that, let's go into the lounge email pile here. I've got one. As always, you can reach us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net. This one comes from Ryan Banbury, and it says, "Hey, Ryan and Garrett, with the Ravens offseason in full swing, the Senior Bowl just finishing and the Combine looming, I think it's time to talk about your mock drafts." Here we go. We all know you guys love your drafts. We had the Thanksgiving draft, away game draft, even cookie drafts. But now that we are all talking about the actual draft, you forgot the pizza draft, which I crushed you in. Why don't you guys let us fans get in on this little competition you like running, You Pick the Draft contest?
Well, it's Ryan, right?
It's Ryan.
Yeah, we need to let Ryan know we do a predict the pick contest every year.
That's right.
So we want fans to, that's not out yet, but as the draft gets closer, you can sign up for the predict the pick contest where you will predict who the Ravens are going to select at number 16. So
that's just first round,
but there's some awesome prizes that come along with it. I'm not sure exactly what the prizes are going to be this year, but we've given away some pretty sick swag, including you have a chance to come to our draft party and meet the first round pick. So it doesn't get any better than that.
We wouldn't be able to give you a better prize ourselves.
No, we could give you
some pencils.
Ryan's got an old pair of socks and some trail mix that he stole from the cafeteria here.
It wasn't stolen, all right? It's trail mix for everybody. It wasn't in the players only section.
Ooh.
Okay? All right? That would be like the nice drinks, like the smoothies.
Yeah,
that would be stolen.
Which you also steal.
Which you also steal, yes. Anyway, good suggestion, Ryan. So make sure you enter that contest this year. And I'm sure we'll be talking a lot about the draft. We'll be talking about our seven-rounders. And heck, you want to send us your seven-round Ravens mock draft? We'd be happy to read.
Go ahead.
Your thoughts, yeah. So with no further ado, let's welcome in our guest, Torrey Smith. So Torrey, first of all, congratulations. I want to start with that. My first question is, so which Super Bowl was better? All right, and don't let recency bias affect your answer, okay?
No, I was telling, I was actually asked that question the other day, and I was like, you know, I wasn't trying to be biased because, you know, when we went in Baltimore, yeah, it was definitely special. That season, the team we had, the bond we had, I mean, I lost my brother that year, so it was a tough year. But this time around, you know, my career's kind of in a different area. It's been so up and down, and I haven't been as consistent. Nothing's really been as consistent as I wanted to be. And so, you know, now I have kids and, you know, all that stuff kind of plays into it. And it's like, man, it's just special, you know, to be able to see them on the field. It's just completely different this time around. And so I would have to pick this last.
Oh man. That cuts deep. How about this? You got to say that the week in New Orleans was better than a week in Minnesota. You got to agree with us there.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was crazy down there. Like I said, that was definitely one of the best weeks of my life. But it was awesome because it's like almost like I trained, like my brothers and sisters, all my siblings were there in New Orleans, my coaches. Like, it was special. And this time around, I don't know, I guess it's just different when you have kids. And I know that, you know, I view it completely different. I know that, like, they were a part of this. And, we were a part of the first title in this city, which is pretty cool as well. And I know that, you know, I have photos with them here, like them playing in the confetti. I don't know. Maybe that's just the emotional side of me to that that's clinging to it.
So what are you doing now? Like, how are you celebrating? We know you don't drink, so your celebration was a lot different than Garrett's was, you know, 5 years ago. So how are you celebrating?
Man, we had the post-game party. Which is pretty fun. But for me, man, it's just staying up late that night. And since then, I've been trying to catch up on sleep, trying to get these boys, you know, in line and parades on tomorrow on Thursday. So that'd be pretty cool. But otherwise, that, man, it's just the same old thing for me. Just relax, get some time with the kids, and hopefully get away to get fishing some.
Now, I bet Mary J. Blige didn't perform at the Eagles post post Super Bowl party. And was Beyonce at your party?
That party in New Orleans was definitely better.
So, you know, going to that game, you have that sick helmet catch. I think it was on the opening drive of the game on Sunday. But you know what? On the Ravens' path to the Super Bowl, you also had that catch over Champ Bailey in the divisional round, which I think is probably one of the best catches of your career. Which one do you put ahead of the other?
The Champ Bailey.
Yep. Catch was so nasty. I still think that might have been the best one of your career.
Yeah, it was just because it was the moment in the game right before half, you know? And the game itself was just crazy. So, it was up in one. And also, you know, we had just got blown up by them a few weeks before. And, you know, I didn't really do too much. And I don't know, I was kind of just proud of myself, like the film study and trying to use things that I learned that I knew. Like, I was open on them during the first time. I didn't really get the ball. But the second time I knew, like, man, like, I knew how I had to beat them. And for a young guy, it gave me a lot of confidence.
Well, and it wasn't just that touchdown right in front of the half. You also had the bomb
right
down the middle of the field. That was, I think, the first Ravens' first touchdown of that game. So you kind of beat him with the jump ball and the speed.
Yeah, well, you know, we're just reliving the glory days right here.
Yes. That's what we're doing. Thank you, Torrey. We wanted to have you on so we could talk about our Super Bowl run, really.
This is good for us. You know, I'm kind of curious. When you were going through the week and you're playing the Patriots, you know, there's sort of a mystique about the Patriots, and I think that a lot of teams kind of overhype it. And you get teams can get intimidated by playing them. But obviously, you know, the Ravens have had success against them in some big moments. You guys go out there and beat them. Do you think that, you know, I don't know if it's a chip on your shoulder going in to face them, but do you think that experience of beating them in a key game before helps you on Sunday at all?
I think so. You mean you're not worried about them. You respect them. You're not scared of them, and you believe that you can beat them. I don't think everyone believes that they can beat them. They may say it, but I don't know if they truly believe it. But we did going into it, and it was the same way in Baltimore. You know, I'll never forget my second year when we went up there and played them. Like, there was, like, no doubt. Like, we just knew we were going to win that game. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how, you know, it felt this week in terms of preparation, the way everyone was, and, you know, if things fell in our favor.
Yeah, I remember also one thing that a lot of people talked about with the Ravens Super Bowl run 5 years ago was just how loose the team was, like in the week leading up to the game and during the game. It was just, there's a different sense with the Ravens than there was the 49ers. And then I heard kind of some similar things about the Eagles this week, that you guys were just really relaxed and it was kind of, you know, different from your opponent. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's something to be said for it, but there's also things that the media reports as well. So when you're loose and then all of a sudden you don't go out there and play your best, they say you weren't focused or, right, you know, you weren't as serious as you need to be. But that's been our MO all year. I mean, we came out the Meek Mill Dreams and Nightmares, guys dancing in the middle of the field, like, you know, having a good time before the game even started. You know, that's how practice goes. Music's playing, guys are having fun, but when we're practicing, we're competing, and we work our tails off. So it was the same way in Baltimore. You know, we had fun in practice. There was a lot of smiles, a lot of joking going on. But when it was time, that whistle was blowing and refs were going, they were full speed flying around. So I think you can be loose, and then you can be like the Patriots too, where, you know, you don't know what's going on.
Right. Yeah, you talked about, you know, how you guys were confident that you could beat, and you were confident that you could beat the Patriots and Tom Brady, where a lot of people aren't confident they can do that. But you got to be honest with me. When Tom Brady got the ball back with 2 minutes left and needed a touchdown to win, what were you thinking? Were you like, oh, crap, I've seen this story a few times?
No, I was like, man, we would do a stop. Like, we would just do one.
Right.
So I was like, man, like, I'm like, worst case, we can go into overtime. But I'm like, man, we would do a stop because what happened defensively on both sides, I don't think anyone really expected that type of a game. So for it to go the way it did, I'm like, man, it's time. It's only right that our defense seals the deal.
Right. So I want to go back to this offseason, obviously. So, you know, there was a lot of talk about you potentially coming to Baltimore, and, you know, Joe talked about texting you and all that. And you, I think, put on Instagram this week that this was a decision that you prayed about more than anything else, you know, in your career. So take us through that process. I mean, how much were you grappling over that decision? How close did it get to you coming back to Baltimore?
I mean, that decision, man, is just, it's tough because I was going from, you know, an environment in San Francisco where we had been struggling a little bit, and I was kind of down, so I wanted to go to a place where I was familiar with a lot of people, and obviously Baltimore could be a part of that, but it was just kind of a timetable of everything, man, and everything was kind of just, you know, I probably could have waited a little bit longer, but to be sure, but the timetable for everything, man, everything was just telling me to, you know, to go to Philadelphia. My wife from up here, some of her family members were having health issues, and it definitely played out to be, you know, the right decision at the time, and still is to this point because of, you know, what happened off the field and the relationships she's had and family members who've actually passed away since we've been here. So those are things that we would have missed out on, and you know, it definitely wasn't the easiest decision in the world. I can't say I turned down anything officially, but it was definitely a possibility where it could have been back, and it wasn't easy to go, but I had to just kind of go with my gut and make a decision sooner than later.
It's interesting. I mean, basically what you're saying is it's really the stuff off the field, and I don't think a lot of people really think about that. You know, you think about just the on-field stuff, but when you're making a decision like that, you're taking into account everything that's happening away from football and processing that as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely tough. I mean, for me, like, Baltimore's home, like, we're literally building our house right now in Howard County.
Right,
so,
right.
So, like, you know, like, I have all the world and love for, you know, Coach Harbaugh and everyone over there. Like, I see everyone when I come back all the time.
Right.
You know, so, and Ms. Machado, like, you know, I try to text him from time to time, or he'll text me. Like, he's a man I have a lot of respect for. So, I don't know how my career is going to ever go, but there was ever a time that, you know, if I was back out on the streets again, you know, I definitely hope that there would be an opportunity to get back there.
Right. How many Ravens did you hear from after the Super Bowl? How many texts did you get? Did Steve, Harbs, who all reached out to you?
Yeah, basically everyone, man.
From the top down, Steve, to all the way down to us.
Yeah. You know, it's been, I mean, but that's how it is. You know, it's been about family. Like the entire time, and like my relationship with the organization is like, it's deep. You know, it's not like, hey, I just played there. Like, no, like, it's people in that building that mean a lot to me. Obviously they have changed my life, but give me the opportunity to play for them. But it's deeper than that, man. Like, I still miss, like, Manny up in there.
He's still cooking some good sandwiches and omelets. Hey. I can report that.
You know, like, it's like, you know, just really good people there, you know? And so to be there for 4 years, especially some of the things that I was going through personally, man, like, that's for life. And we were able to win that championship, and that's for life. So I'm thankful for those relationships. I'm thankful that they continue. And like I said, there's a bunch of guys on the team who shot me a text. Joe, elite Joe, still elite. I don't care what anyone says. Get my guy the talent in the right situation. He's going to ball out. But, you know, I'm excited that, you know, for the organization and where they're headed, because, like, they're probably two plays away from being in the playoffs 2 years in a row.
Oh, we're going to get to talking Ravens here, Tori. Don't jump the shark here. But I do want to ask, like, how much more special did it make it winning it in Philly this year? Because you also did it with some of your former teammates, with Corey Graham, Timmy Jernigan, Danelle Allaby, you know, and even in the front office of Joe Douglas.
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, because Joe was probably the main reason that I came here.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Joe Douglas and Andy, you know, it was possible that I would have been traded here last year. So to have the opportunity to play here, like, you know, it was pretty cool. I know that I know how key they were in me being in Baltimore as well. So there's some people that I know and I trust. And that's what it was about for me, because I know how the business goes, and I know it go either way. Like, and I just want somebody that's going to be honest, you know, with me, and having people that you know, even if it's something you don't want to hear, they'll tell you. And that's the same way in Baltimore as well. So, and to see those guys, you know, Corey and see them make the plays, LV, like, you know, it's pretty special because, like I said, we've been there together before. And to do it here for a city that's experiencing it for the first time, man, it's nothing like it.
So, Tori, wait, are you telling me that Joe Douglas beat out Joe Flacco this past offseason? A deserving where to go.
You got to ask the folks up top over there.
Right. We got some follow-up questions right. from people around here.
So Tori, where is this ring going to go? You got a spot for it? Which finger are you going to get sized up? Is it going to go right next to the Ravens ring? Where is it going to go?
Well, you know that Ravens ring is huge, so I have to see how they size it up. But I think I'm put on my middle finger and then have the other two so I can chuck the deuces up and have two rings on.
Right. That's a pretty baller look right there.
Can you talk a little bit about the ups and downs for you this year in Philly? You know, you kind of alluded to San Francisco, which I think, you know, like you said, it was a challenging time, you know. What about this year in Philly, the ups and downs for you, and what was it about this season that made it so special?
I mean, well, for me, ups and downs were... I mean, just in my play, you know, like, when you watch, things are always better when the season's over and you evaluate it. And you're like, oh, man, you're all tight, all uptight over probably like 7 or 8 plays out of hundreds of plays. But, you know, that's the way I felt, you know, when we were part of a team where, you know, our team is so balanced, you literally never know what's going to happen. Like, you don't know if you'll get a ball this game or not. Mm-hmm. Because of how it spread out. So, like, there were times where, like, I just felt I wasn't making the play. When it was right there, it was kind of pressing a little bit. And, I mean, I've been there before as a player, so I knew how to snap out of it. But when there's that type of inconsistency, you know, as a player, you know, it's definitely frustrating, especially when you're trying to get a fresh start. But, you know, things kind of worked out in my favor towards the end of the year. Picked up steam, got rolling a little bit, and made some pretty cool plays in the playoffs. So it's some good memories. It definitely finished better than it started.
I'm curious, you know, like when the Ravens won the Super Bowl, there was all this, the feeling that year, and maybe it was partly because Ray Lewis was retiring and all that, but there was like that attitude that it's like, you know, this is kind of a year of destiny. Like that was sort of the attitude, and that, you know, like in rewatching some of that stuff, there's the whole like no weapon formed against us, all that stuff. And then you win it and it kind of becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy where you're like, see, look, I knew all along the team was going to win it, a team of destiny. Like, did you get that feeling though with the Eagles, and is that legitimate?
Yeah, it is. It's very real. On this team, the way the guys are, I knew from day one, like when I was in that locker room, like, man, like this has it.
Wow.
Like, this is what it's supposed to look like. This is what it's supposed to feel like. And I know that from being in Boston. You know, I know what a locker room supposed to look like. I know what kind of that good mix and that balance between veterans and young guys is, and just guys that are being together. You know, when you get good guys together that care about each other and aren't selfish, and they really care about the team's success, understanding that their individual, everything they want individually will come with the team's success. I mean, it was huge. And so to be a part of that with Alshon, I mean, we were literally having like a meeting of the minds when we first came out. Like, man, why'd you come here? You know, like, what were you thinking? And I was like, man, like, I just want to win. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was on a 1 year deal at the time. He's like, mm-hmm. I want to win. And it was the best situation to do that. You win, everything takes care of itself. And that was kind of just the message for everything. Guys, whether they were motivated by new contracts or motivated by whatever, if you keep it focused on the team and being the best you, then everything else takes care of itself. And that's how it was for us back then. I remember just it was all about family. Like, we were playing for each other. It was Ray's last ride. We were playing for Ray. You know, I lost my brother. The team was so supportive of me. I mean, I still remember even my brother passed. I mean, I'm out in the hallway. And Harbaugh and Mr. Machado are there. And Craig, like, in the hallway. Like, the team owner's out in the hallway. You know what I mean? So, like everyone from top to bottom was invested in it. And that's kind of how that's not kind of how it is. That's how it is here in Philadelphia. So, it was just right, man. He just knew it. People kept dropping. You know, people were doubting us. But we knew, like, you know, we're just going to keep fighting. We just keep fighting for each other. And everything worked out.
So I want to talk a little bit about Philly and the city and, you know, winning the first championship. So last week when we had the podcast, we were talking about, well, who are you rooting for, right? And the easy answer was the Eagles, because none of us around here want to see Tom Brady win another one, right? and we, of course, wanted you and the other guys to win, right? But the other side of this argument, and this is what I want to ask you about, is see if you agree with this, is that losing streaks in sports are kind of fun, right? Like, it wasn't as fun in Major League Baseball when the Red Sox won and the Cubs broke their streak, right? And, like, Cleveland, you know, like, you couldn't make fun of Cleveland as much after LeBron came back and won a title there, right? So I was kind of like, man, football loses a pretty fun storyline if Phillies get, you know, Eagles fans win one for the first time.
And for the record, I was on the other side of this argument because I grew up a Cleveland sports fan, so I've been tortured my entire life, so I like to root for the underdog.
Do you, Tori, get where I'm coming from here? You know,
yeah, you're a hater, bro.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you.
I will say this, all right, I'll redeem myself. And after you guys won it and I saw like grown men crying and like 9-year-old people who've been waiting their whole lives, then the jerk inside of me faded, like the real punk, and I was like, oh, this is touching. This is sweet. I'm glad Philly won.
Unreal. Like this city is going crazy, right? Everywhere you go, people are just losing their minds. And like I had someone come up to me yesterday. And they were like, man, like, I went to my old man's grave, and, like, he would have loved to have been here for this moment, you know, and, like, just, it's just really deep to folks here, and, like I said, they've been waiting for that title. Like, yes, the Phillies won some years ago, and the Sixers way back before that, but this is a football town, and they've been waiting for it. So this parade is going to be ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. I mean, I remember the Ravens parade, and that's one of the things that kind of, you see how many people it touches when you're on that float, and I'm sure you're going to feel that tomorrow.
So now that you know how hard it is to repeat, obviously, you know, you were with the Ravens for a couple more years after you won the Super Bowl. Is that something that you're going to talk to your teammates about?
Absolutely. I mean, everyone's gunning for you because you I remember talking to Warren Sapp about it. He's like, hey, you win. It's different. Mm-hmm. I'm like, man, no, it's not. It's still football. Like, when you're one of the best teams, everyone's gunning for you anyway.
Right.
And I still kind of feel that way. Like, everyone's still gunning for you. But, like, their motivation is really, like, they're really trying to measure up, like, everything you do. Like, it's really – and it's like that, again, in general, in every game. But, like, it's just a little bit different when – they're measuring up everything. They feel like, man, if they can beat you, they can beat anyone.
Right.
Or like if you did it, they can. Or and most of the time when they're looking at it, they're like, man, our team's better than them. So if they can do it, we can do it. You know what I mean? And so it's a different type of motivation, especially when you're at home. People use that to your advantage. We play very well at home here. We play very well at home when I was in Baltimore with one. And so people try to use that to their advantage. Like, we can beat them in their house. That's their way in. Da da da. I mean, everyone does it with the Patriots. They've been doing this forever. So. I mean, that's just how it goes.
Do you think it's also hard, and this is just a theory of mine, that, like, in the following year, right, like, if stuff starts to kind of go wrong, that it's just by human nature difficult to kind of fend off the, well, yeah, things are going wrong, but we just won it all last year, you know?
I mean, like,
do you think, is that just human tendency? How difficult is that to ward off as a player right after you win one?
Well, I think it's sometimes some of the teams. Like, when you look at, like, when we were in Baltimore, like, after we won, we had a lot of change. Mm-hmm. You know, so that kind of shakes things up. And then, like, a lot of teams, that's because, like, if you're winning and you have good young talent, other teams are going to want it. Or guys are free agents. Some of your top guys are free agents. Like, other teams are going to want that talent. So I think the way you can help that is, like, if you win it that year and you already have your guys locked up, and so, like, and that's kind of, I feel like, how it is for this team. This team, like, there aren't many guys that are going to be, like, completely lost. And if anything, you're getting guys back, you know, you're going to have a choice to change things up by releasing guys or restructuring whatever it may be. So, I think that's probably the biggest difference. Because think about the Patriots, they've won, but then somehow they end up right back in the same situation this year or right back into the playoffs because – their division's easy, and
I agree. So, Torian, since 2014, so you're gone in 2014, three straight years without the playoffs for the Ravens. What do you make of that? Is it as simple as no Torrey, no playoffs? Is that how things work around here?
Absolutely. this is how it goes. You know, sometimes you have those fluke games, and it's always harder, I think, when you struggle earlier in the year. Because, like, it's like you kind of, not that you have makeup, but, like, when you struggle earlier, when you get to the end, it's like, man, you have to do this to get it.
Yeah.
You know, versus when we were successful, we played so well in the beginning, you have room for error late. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, but with the Ravens, like, people are, like, even though, like, people are complaining and you know, I know because I'm there all the time still, you know, fans may complain or whatever, but the team is still only a couple, like, literally a few plays away from the playoffs, and the team is still, like, building and reloading. You know what I mean? So it's still right there. They'll get it right, man. It's they have the right guys there leading the way, and, you know, they'll get it right.
Would it have been a good game, Eagles versus Ravens in the Super Bowl this year?
Ooh.
Of course it would have been a good game, but it might make y'all mad when we know who's going to win that game.
Tori, you were talking about Joe, and I'll give you your chance to give me the Joe Elite conversation, your argument for Joe Elite. But I also want to hear, now that in your experience with Carson Wentz, you know, two small school guys, how would you compare, contrast Joe and Carson?
I think they're both huge, first of all. big frames. Both are athletic. Joe's athletic, but people don't like to give him that credit. Carson's obviously like a little wizard, so people see those crazy plays he makes. But strong arms. I think they're very great leaders. Carson's probably more vocal, but Joe's still a great leader. They can make every throw. I mean, they just make the team better. You know what I mean? And I think they both have great control of the offense. Joe's very comfortable with things. Carson's very comfortable. So I'm lucky to, you know, play with those two, because Carson's going to be really good down the line.
Right. Well, hey, Tori, we really appreciate the time. You're always somebody that's here in Baltimore. I know that a lot of Ravens fans were rooting for the Eagles for you, you know, this weekend.
Including myself, for the record.
Haters.
Including myself.
Some of the people that aren't the haters.
That was a side argument.
Right. But you've always been someone that's been, kind of connected with the Ravens fans here. So when's the next time we're going to see you in Baltimore? Are you doing your basketball game again this year?
Yeah, we're doing a basketball game on March 17th.
All right. Nice. Put it on the calendars. Put it on the books.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Cool.
Yeah, come out, man. Maybe even jump in the game, see if that jumper works.
Yeah, oh, you don't want to get it.
It's a broken jumper, I'll tell you that right now.
And now I got a kid. I'm in dad territory like you, Tori, so you know what kind of shape I'm in. You still get to train professionally. When it's not your job to train, it goes down the toilet fast. Hey, all right, well, thank you, Tori.
Appreciate it.
Well, really good stuff from Tori, as always. I'm a little sad that he called me a hater.
You are a hater. I mean, he called a spade a spade.
I don't hate the Eagles. I love the Eagles. I just like good storylines, good drama.
You were just rooting against them to enjoy their misery. That's the definition.
Into it, I thought that I might feel that way, but as soon as the game started, I was all in on the Eagles.
Yeah, but you even, the idea, the notion that you want to root against a team just to relish in their misery is the definition of being the hater. That's what you are. That is what you are.
I think that's the definition.
If you look it up in Webster's, that's what it's going to say.
Fair enough.
But always, hey, it's good to talk to Tori, and he'll be in town, and as he says, he's going to be someone who's going to rat in this area for many years to come.
Yes.
Bodenhouse and Howard County.
For sure. So we'll be looking for our next guests, and if not, then it'll just be Garrett and I. Maybe we'll bring Comment on. He keeps asking.
The past
couple of weeks, Comment's been like, when do I come back on?
We might have to bring Comment back.
We'll see.
Back.
As always, you can reach us at thelounge@ravens.nfl.net, and we will be back with you next week.